Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, Seattle sisters!
It's your virtual sisters, Bianca, aka BB.
Shade or Shade, whichever one floats your boat.
And your girl, Jenny from the pod. And welcome to another episode of She's in the Pod,
the safe space for millennial women,
where we meet bi-weekly to talk life, growth, and sisterhood.
Well, hello there, ladies. Welcome back to a new episode of SEAP, your favorite gang, your favorite sisters. And we're here to bring you a new set of gist. We have a very special guest in the building who's decided to abandon us.
Drum roll.
Who decided to make a special appearance. So do you want to introduce yourself, please, Ma?
Serious. Hi, guys. So my name is Bianca. Yeah, I am 29. I'm from South London. And
she's doing a bad thing. Look at her.
Hi, guys. Nice
girl,
to be back. I'm really happy. I'm finally back in the, you know, in the episodes. I was away for a while because I am in Ghana, but I'm back this month. Looking forward to it because I want to be back and start preparing for Shade's wedding. Woohoo!
Wedding
of the year.
So love 22, yes.
Yeah, so I'll be back in like about a month. But I'm here today because we're recording virtually. The ladies thought they would grace me to let me in, squeeze me in into the episode.
Why not?
We thought we'd allow her.
So yeah, I'm happy to be back. I'm looking forward to chopping up with you guys. I missed it. So let's go ahead and dive in to the episode. First things first, Oh My Pod. If you don't know, you should know, but let me tell you about it. Oh My Pod is basically a section in the episode where we spend 5 minutes dissecting something that has happened in news, pop culture, in the world, that everyone's saying, wow, wow for that. So we are going to talk about a topic today, and we take it in turns to why you are interested.
Sorry, don't mind me.
She's been doing the most today. But yeah, Shade has this week's Oh My Pod, so do you want to let us know what you want us to talk about?
I do. Right, so it's the obvious one, guys. So I think for me, the Oh My Pod moment in this situation that we all have heard of and we've all seen and everyone's speaking about is the divided opinion on the Will Smith versus Chris Rock.
Yes.
For me, that was an Oh My Pod because it just showed that it really just depends on one's perspective. Because 100%. A lot of people were on Chris Rock's side, you know, saying that it was just a joke. He's doing his job. He may not have known about her alopecia. He's a comedian. That's what comedians do. And there's other sides that are like, well, no, Will Smith was defending his wife, as he should be. I don't want my husband to defend me like that, etc. But I think, do I even want to share my opinion? Can I be bothered? I think for me, but I know I should be bothered, innit? I think for me, the long and short of it is that Will Smith is broken by a lot of things, and you could tell in that outburst because that was not normal. That was very out of character from the Will Smith that we know, who is a grown man, you know, and you would think he would make better decisions. So for me, it was just an out of character moment. I feel very empathetic for Chris Rock because no one deserves to be punched up on stage in front of thousands of people.
I did hear, I don't know if it's true or not, that Chris Rock had been, like, quote-unquote, trolling Jada for a while now. Like, he's been making jokes about
well
her,
apparently but... so the reference is that most people are talking about, and that's why I would say there's so many layers to this, because I think it was the child of Will Smith triggered. I think it was, for example, the joke of the alopecia joke. I think it was also the fact that it was Chris Rock. I keep saying this. I don't feel like he would have done that. I think it was him, because 2016, Jada started this whole boycott the Oscars thing, because it was like, they had this whole Oscars so white, because basically all the categories were white people. There were no black people nominated or barely any. And so she started the whole boycott thing. And he went to the Oscars and told Jada was basically like, she wasn't invited anyways, and like just making jokes about her. And so though he was told, so that there's so many layers to it. Like, I don't think it's just as simple as so he had an outburst. Exactly. And then also build up that wasn't directly Chris Rock's fault. Build up from what the public has been getting onto them about for the past 2 years because of the whole August Alcina thing. People still on the red carpet are bringing it up. There was a clip just the other day of Laverne Cox. Is that her name? Laverne Cox, the actress. Actress, transgender actress. Black lady.
She was on the red carpet.
Yes, she was on the red carpet saying, she was interviewing Willa Jada, and she basically said in something like entanglement, or I hope you guys don't get it, as a joke, and it just didn't land well. And she actually had to put out an apology because people were it was basically saying it was tasteless. So it's like, even this happened in 2020, and people are still reaching for it. Maybe he just had enough. Like I said, the whole, him not being able to protect his mum when she was being physically abused, and him feeling like a coward, maybe that was his moment to say, you know what? No one's taken me for a coward today. 110%. So that's my take. I mean, I have a lot of opinions on it, but I feel like,
a lot of people have a lot of opinions.
And
then getting on to, I don't know, what's her name? Zoe something?
Kravitz. Who cares? Why is she sharing her opinion? No one cares. Zoe Kravitz is Lenny Kravitz's daughter. Like Lenny Kravitz, the famous
that
musician.
That name sounds so familiar. I feel I should know them.
She was like, "Oh, here's the dress that I wore at the awards show, where apparently people are hitting people." And I was like, "Why are you sharing your opinion? No one cares."
I just scrolled past.
Yeah, no one cares. So, but yeah, I think I'm sad for him. It's bad for Chris Rock.
Yeah.
I have opinions about him. Anyways, I'm not a fan of him. I've always felt like there's just some clips and stuff I've seen of him where I feel like, wow, you're doing this. You know you're black, right? You know, those kind of things, like very offensive things that he's allowed white people to say around, like, and been in conversation. I'm just not impressed. There's one video I watched the other day where he was, and I was like, this is not okay. But that has nothing to do with the fact that he didn't deserve that slap, And, Will, I hope he can recover. That's what I can say.
Yeah, and I hope he doesn't get his award taken away from him, because he really deserves it.
He does. I'm not going to lie. Some of the white people need to settle down. I'm not even going to lie to you. Just to be quiet. Because
why are they getting so involved?
You know what it is?
Some of them love this.
They love it. And you know what it is? It's because it's black or black crime. That's why.
Exactly.
They're just sitting back. Because, and you know what? Some of these white people, celebrities, are on their high horses, about, oh, this is so wrong. But when you knew what Harvey Weinstein was doing, you didn't say
Jack. You didn't say Jack.
I feel like a lot of these people have said a lot less for things that have been a lot more intense and a lot worse. But because it benefited your career, you sat back and let things happen. Get off your high horse, please. Just leave it to the black people to sort out, okay?
I also saw something that was quite interesting. I saw someone say that, quite a few people actually say that, because when things like this happen, people will say, oh, this is why white people say that we're this is why. And so a lot of people are like, why are we using white people as the benchmark for good behavior?
Exactly.
We need to be released from the shackles of comparing everything to white people and comparing how good we are based on how white people behave. We're not like them, and we shouldn't try to be. When I saw that, I said, you know what, I agree
100%. It's like, oh, you're in a white space now, we're never gonna get invited back again, who cares?
We can't be on tippy toes like this.
I don't want to be to the extent of violence, obviously not, but we should be in spaces where we can feel 100. We don't have to have the switch of like Like, you know, when you go to work, sometimes you have to have that switch on.
Yeah,
like,
code switch.
Oh, yes.
Like, I didn't have to code switch. You know what I mean?
And like, by the way, we have an episode on that, guys. So if you have not, that was, like, probably in season two or three, season where we spoke about workplace and, you know, being at work and stuff. Yeah, so I don't know how I remember that. But, yeah, I can't remember what it's called, though. Yeah. But, yeah, guys, listen to that episode. That episode was sweet.
It was a really good one. But yeah, last thing I will say is that when I first saw it, I'm not gonna lie, the South London in me said, "Pump him up, Will."
Yes.
Pump him up. That's right. Listen, representation. Yes, no, honestly, when I first saw it, I was like, "Good." I was like, "Good," because why are you making jokes in my head? But then, obviously, I simmered down. Yeah.
And the fact that Chris didn't even react. I mean, he did.
Yanka, you mean?
No, as I simmered down, I was like, okay, cool. Like, it wasn't okay, but at first I was like, nah, he deserved it.
But you know what? He probably went through the same emotions. Like, at first it's like, yeah, and then afterwards, kind of like...
But you know what? Have you guys seen Marlon Wayans years ago did an impression of Chris Rock, right? It was a whole skit at a TV award show where Chris Rock, basically, he was going after celebrities, and then celebrities came on stage and started beating him up. So my thing is, if art imitates life, that's my opinion, right? So my thing is, if that's the way you thought that, like, you know, that even though it's a joke, what are his jokes really that offensive to people? Because this was like 20 years ago, the MTV, it was early 2000s. And then they all came on stage and started like kicking him and punching him and stuff like that.
I need to watch that.
I thought, oh my god.
That reminds me of like The Simpsons, where they predict things that happen.
Yeah, exactly.
Forecasting, isn't it? Sorry.
What's that?
It's not forecasting.
Forecasting. It's prophetic. What do you mean?
What's forecasting? As in like
predicting.
Predicting, yeah. Is that a thing? That is a thing, right?
It's a prophesied man.
To be honest, I agree.
I don't want to think too prophetic. Much about that.
It is quite scary.
In my opinion, I don't think it's just Christians that are prophetic. I think when you have gifts, you can use those gifts for the wrong things as well. That's my opinion. 100%. 110%. You are able to use those. Yeah, 100%. Because God doesn't take away a gift that you have. And I feel like, anyways, that's another story. Let's not get into that. But I do feel like people...
Yeah, because I was going to come back. But anyways, let's move on.
Yeah, I feel like... Yeah, so, into the episode. Shade.
Yes. Please. Right, so this topic is a topic dear on my heart because, bruh, the recent months, the recent years, maybe even, months, I've seen a big shift in friendship dynamics and... I just feel like it's not really spoken about enough. I remember I put out a status on my Instagram story saying that navigating friendships is something that we need to talk about because I just don't feel like it's talking about enough and it's difficult. And I got so many responses. I'm going to repost the responses actually when this episode comes out to remind everyone about all the responses. We also put out something on our She's in a Pod page. And we were just overwhelmed with responses. So we said, you know what? This is something we need to dissect. We need to discuss this. So the first question, let's just dive straight in. The first question I want you guys to discuss is, so in your, just casting your mind back on your friendship dynamics over the past couple months, years, what's changed in your friendships, if anything? It might not have changed, but if it has changed, what has changed?
Question.
We've all grown up. We've all grown up. I mean, like, so for me, I've had quite a close, tight-knit friendship group for quite a while. And those friendship groups, so there's about five or six of us, and we've known each other from secondary school to sixth form, and even though we went to different universities, we still kept in touch, and, you know, we go on holiday, like, every single year. But I've definitely noticed that as we're growing into our own, like we're growing into our own opinions, we're liking different things, we're clashing on things that we didn't think we would clash on. And that's definitely like changed the dynamic in terms of me being closer to, I'll say like Bumi, like most people know anyways, that Bumi, she's my best friend, and that's how it's been for a while. But then even within our friendship group, like, yeah, it's just changed. And I think sometimes if you don't like necessarily, it's very different when you don't agree on like very sort of like miniature situations, but when it's like bigger life things, it becomes a lot harder to continue.
Yeah, exactly.
Either continue a friendship or continue the way the friendship was before. And maybe you have to start having that like long distance sort of friendship. I really believe in long distance friendship. I think they're great. Like,
it works.
I don't
well.
Have to talk to you every single day or every, it can be on a monthly basis. And I still have the same love for you. So yeah. What about you guys?
If they've changed, they've changed, they've evolved, and distance doesn't, like, evolution could also include, like, distance or changes that your younger self would think, oh no, I don't want that to happen, but, like, your older self is like, that's okay, because that's life, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think I've said this before, that in a way, I feel like the way your life is set up almost chooses your friends for you. Because usually, when you're young, because it's usually you're closest to the people that are in your form class or the people that are in certain classes. Yeah. And those are all circumstances that you actually didn't have any control of. Then when you go to uni, the people that live maybe in your dorm room or that are studying the same, degree as you and all that stuff. So it's almost like, in a way, you may gel with certain people more, but in a way, those people are placed there. And you have, you know what I mean? And then it's set up. So then... And then when we're younger, we have less of an identity, you know? We have less of a... We kind of go with the flow. It's like, you know, we see this and it's we go with what's most popular. And so... But then when we get older and we start to find out about ourselves and we realise what shaped us when we were younger as well and how that has affected us in terms of our adulthood, all of those things start to show itself. It starts to show up. It didn't necessarily show up much when we were younger, but as an adult... those things start to show up and they start to come to surface more. And then it's like, oh, okay, well, your thing stuff is showing up, my stuff is showing up, and it's clashing a little bit. And, it was okay when it was all in the surface, but now, you know, it's clashing a bit. And that's okay. And I think you have to, my thing is being surrounded by people who are open to always having a conversation, because we can solve anything in a conversation. And that's that resolution may be that we're no longer friends, but it's still a soul. But, like, we can solve anything. A lot of things can just be sorted out if we just have a conversation. So my friendships have changed. Yeah. They've evolved. Some people that I've spent all my time with that I had no boundaries with at all. When I say no boundaries, they're like, I would do it, you know, if they said, hey, I need this, I would stop everything to do this for them. Yeah, like, it's changed. Like, now I have more boundaries with myself. I have more boundaries with them. That means that I'm going to say no sometimes. And sometimes you then find out people are not okay with you always saying no, because they're not used to it. That's okay, you know.
Exactly. And so, how did you make that change?
It can't be
easy to go from not having any boundaries to suddenly showing up and standing up for yourself and saying no when you need to and yes when you need to.
Yeah, do you know what? I would say that, unfortunately, it happened when my mum got sick, because I realised my family is the most supportive thing to me now. Of course, I had no clue she was going to pass away. But in my mind, it was like, I need to start saying no. Just even if I can do it, sometimes just practice saying no for the sake of it. And I remember one time, my friend had asked me to say no. There was something that I was doing for them all the time. So I was the person that friend would come to when they needed that certain thing done. And one year, I just said, nope. And they were like, really? And when the time was coming closer, they were having an event. They were having an event. And when time was coming closer, they were like, you really not going to do it? The day before they called me, I was like, nope. I went to my friend's house. I chilled. And I already know what it was.
Yeah.
And I came to the event. I turned up. But you see me, I didn't kill myself. I just wanted to just enjoy. And I went home. Normally, I'd stay out or go somewhere. I went home to my mom, because in my mind, it was like, that's my priority. And so it was that made me realize, okay, saying no actually kind of feels kind of good. Like, I'm not doing this to be mean, but like, it actually really is quite fulfilling in a way that, like, you're not you know, sometimes you have to figure
you're
out
choosing how is this, you.
Exactly.
Not everything is that you're choosing peace. Yeah.
Exactly. So, you know, and there's some friends I've grown closer to. And like you said, Jen, you know, you have some long distance friendships where we both know what it is, and that's okay. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, like, there's no like, oh, you should be doing this. It's like, no, we know what it is because we have things going on in our lives. And so, I think that's how they've changed. It's just adulthood. And we know what adulthood requires from us as human beings, how much it takes from us, you know? And that allows you to have grace because the grace you need. Do you know what I mean? So I think, they've evolved in good ways where it's just about realistic expectations and having grace. It doesn't mean you won't butt heads, but what about you, Shani?
For me, my friendships have definitely changed in very surprising ways, actually. Like, there are certain friends that I thought I'd be friends with forever. Because, 100%. Like, what the heck could make us not be friends? You know when you just kind of have that mentality, how could we ever stop being friends? Like, what could possibly happen? But honestly, life happens. And what I've realised is that the person you were friends with in uni is not the person you're friends with now. Because people change. Situations of life change people. You know, going through divorces, going through losses, going through illnesses, like, it completely changes people. And naturally, what's happened to someone could then be projected on you as their friend. And sometimes it's unintentional. So it's not like they mean to, you know, say this or say that, but because of what's happened to them, that's how they're manifesting. That's almost like, you know, the... what do you call it? Not the consequence, but like, okay, cool, this is what happened, so this is what is now shaped in me, type thing. So I say that to say my friendships have definitely changed. I feel like now it requires a lot more intentionality. So with one of my friends, I've noticed that we never used to really argue or disagree. We were just kind of float. It was just a very easy friendship, you know, nothing was really wrong, whatever. But what I've noticed is that in the past year, actually, year or two, since COVID, really, we've had a lot more uncomfortable conversations, and I don't like the way you did this, and I'm not okay with this, and I feel like I need to tell you, you know, those kind of things before we never used to. And I don't know if it's because we didn't used to have scenarios where we would disagree or whatever, but I just think maybe as you get older, you just mature, and there are certain things you're not just going to overlook if you really want the friendship to work. Do you know 100%. What I mean? If you really value the friendship, you will have that. You would be mature enough to have those uncomfortable conversations. So dynamics, which I could go on and on about this, even through wedding planning and stuff. I've noticed friendships have changed, but we'll go on to that.
Do you guys ever feel like you've been like the quote unquote bad friend? Like,
yeah, definitely.
Have you? I don't know.
Like, let's be honest, we all have. I think we've all had moments where it's like, oh, that wasn't the greatest thing that we could have had to think about as a friend. I personally feel like, I can say yes without even thinking about it, because I've had moments where I know, like, I should have done better, and I should have been more aware of someone else's world and not just considering my world, you know? I think it's difficult in life sometimes, you know, to come outside of your world and be like, okay, how can I simultaneously consider my world so that my boundaries are not being pushed, but then also consider their world so that it's a lot to balance, you know?
That's actually something I've had to learn recently. Like, sometimes, I think I've mentioned it before, but sometimes I, like, actually physically have to tell myself, Shade, it's not about you, because it's so easy to just automatically assume that it's because of you that you're this. But actually try and put yourself in their shoes. You know, and that's when that empathy comes in. Like, try to really just put yourself in the other person's shoe to try and understand why they might be acting the way they are.
Exactly.
I think I've had situations where I definitely could have acted better. I wouldn't say I'm a bad friend, but yeah. sometimes I just haven't been able to see it from someone else's perspective. So when they point it out to me, I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah. fair enough. But that's yeah. all part of growth.
But I don't that's know if it's true. If you call that bad friendship or call it being a
yeah,
bad
maybe
friend,
bad is a bit too.
Being,
a bit too
I think
strong,
it's just
yeah,
just having
well,
a
what's
blind
an example of a bad friend? Like I'm not calling Ooh. You, or I've slept with your man. Like what?
Nah, like
what other?
I don't know, I'm trying to think. Do you know what? Yeah, there was a recent one where I was pulled up on something.
Ooh,
okay. That I had said.
Charlie's like, spill the tea.
I mean, I love the gist.
I had said something, but the thing is, and this is where communication comes in, and we'll go into that a bit later. But so we're out. I was out with my friends, and I had said something. It was something along the lines of, what did I say again? Like, oh yeah, you're always. So you're always going now, alluding to the point that, okay, maybe they're always kind of going off with guys. But I wasn't the only person who said it. I wasn't the only person, and we were joking. We were all like, you know, I thought we were all like laughing about it. However, later on, the person pulled me up on it and said they didn't like that. And then started like spilling out like other stuff that was in relation to like what I've said, but maybe they've kind of held that in. And like in
so
that
she basically,
moment,
she basically did a Will Smith. She laughed and then it was
and yes. then, you know, later, do you understand? Yes. And then I don't know, it kind of just made me, because I feel like I always like pride in, you know, I still do, but I always used to pride myself in being a good friend. Like I always kind of thought myself as a sponge where like people would like, you know, tell me stuff and like I'll try and help them and I'll like just soak everything in. And like maybe I'd been so unaware of like some of my actions, because people do tell me I'm quite blunt, although I have been trying for the past couple of years now, but I can be very blunt sometimes. And why are you laughing? Come on, are you trying to say something? But like yeah, like that was like one of like the major scenarios where like I was like, oh, upon reflection I haven't been a good friend to them. But then at the same time, because they hadn't communicated that to me,
yeah, you're unaware
for such a long time, I was just not aware. And because they're yeah. kicking with me, I'm kicking and I'm saying the same things.
Yeah. And you know what, that's what happens a lot of times in friendships or relationships, where like the resentment builds up because the person keeps offending and keeps offending, but it's like, well, you haven't said anything. And then it gets to a point where that person now has this like thing against you that sometimes is very hard to repair, because you've left it so long, you know, that again,
and
you know,
it's dangerous.
It is dangerous.
I
think there's a part of us, and I think that comes from the entitled part of us as human beings, where we feel like that person should know. They should know that this is wrong, you know. Mm. But it's like, that's just not how we're not built the same, you know. So there's certain things that, and if I may say something and you react a certain way, then I'm automatically going to assume that, oh, okay, she doesn't, she's laughing. Fine, you know. You know, she enjoys this kind of gist or banter or whatever. So, I think it's, communication is so important. It's hard. Communication is, we throw that word around a lot, but it's hard. Hard.
Because you have to think about, okay, how will the other person receive it? Will they be offended? Yeah. When is the right time to say this? Am I going to lose a friend over this? Yeah. You know, it's so many things that we're trying to consider. So,
and you communicate differently with other people. Like, I could have that type of banter one person, but then not with another person.
Exactly.
So, and I think that's what it is. You know, this friend is in this capacity. That friend isn't. This friend is for this. This is the sort of friend that I go to for this stuff. And like, you have to, you know, I think when we were younger, it's like we kind of have our friends all in the same bracket. But you get older, you realize there are different layers to this,
and
levels to this.
I think it's also a place and time and season. Seasons are so key in this whole navigating friendship thing, because what I've realized is that school friends, we're all in school, we have common interests, we're all studying, we're all going McDonald's after school, we're all you know, struggling in maths, we're all in the same, where our lives are pretty much the same or very similar. Whereas as we get older, some of us move, some of us get married, some of us start having children, some of us are working abroad, and naturally that changes dynamics.
100%.
You know, naturally that changes dynamics. So it's just it's really about seasons and being sensitive to that and just understanding seasons and that. So I know we had asked on our Instagram about what people find the hardest about adult friendships, and I think this would be a good time to reflect on that.
So what we'll do is we'll read some of the responses, then we'll we'll dig into you know, how we feel or if we experience that. So we asked them on our IG a few weeks ago. We said, what do you find hard about adult friendships? Someone said, oh, this one is the Zuti, jealous friends in disguise. Does anyone feel like they've dealt with that before, where you feel like, this chick over here, I'm getting some vibes. She doesn't really show it because everything she does and says, it looks like she's happy for me. But do you think you've dealt with that before, Jen?
Yeah, I think. See, this is it's difficult because, like, you know, I always try to see people in the right. Why are you guys laughing at me today?
No, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because of what my answer's going to be. I'm just thinking. No, don't worry, not you.
What I was going to say was, you know, obviously I try to see people in the positive light, and you know that they wouldn't think that way.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I wouldn't. Although I say I wouldn't, but even if I did, like, I always talk about like positive sort of jealousy, like positive envy. But definitely I've had those vibes. Like, they don't need to say it, but like downplaying certain things that I do, or just not responding, like just nothing, just silence. And then I'm like trying to, you know, boost my sort of ego myself. And sometimes you need your friends to do that. Yeah. And when they don't on a constant basis, it does like make you wonder, like, is something going on? But it's difficult. It's because how do you even pull someone up on that? I don't think I've had those
without coming across as shallow or
actually
self-centered.
I remember I did say
no. You say you just got them. You say, are you happy with your life? You see what they say? Because listen. The reality is, if you are envying or you are jealous of these things, two things that I don't understand is that whole jealousy type thing, is number one, you see all of this fluffy, fluffy, nice stuff that the person's doing, but you, as much as you're close friends with them, you do not live their life. You do not walk in their shoes, okay? You don't know the real, true difficulties this person has to go through. So you're exactly. saying you're jealous and just like, and you're acting away or belittling what they do. Kind of walk in my shoes in a day. I'm not saying that I'm any better than you or that my life is any harder or better, like, you know what I mean? But what I'm saying
is... But it's not always easy.
It's not all rosy.
Yeah, it's not
the
always
The second thing
rosy.
Is, usually people that are like that, they're not all the way happy with the way their life is set up yet. So you have a proper conversation. You say, listen, how's life? Do you feel like you're happy with your life right now? Do you feel like, you know... of course, I'm saying it very bluntly, but... So girl, ladies, if you're listening, if anyone comes to you to ask you if you're happy with your life, they probably think you're the jealous friend. Just letting you know.
Shade,
what are you saying?
Oh, this is a bit sensitive though, but obviously no one knows who it is anyway, but I felt like, so during this wedding season, it can be very awkward with certain friends, because when you're getting married and, you know, maybe one of your friends has just gone through a really bad breakup or divorce, it can almost, maybe you talking about the wedding or whatever can almost feel like you're rubbing it in their face.
Like a trigger,
you know,
or something.
Say that again?
Is it like a trigger for them?
Yeah. So, like, in situations where you want to kind of run to a friend to be like, oh, guess what? Guess what I've got planned, da, da, da. You might feel a type of way because of what they've gone through. And I've experienced that recently with, you know, one of my very close friends who are no longer friends, sadly, because of, you know,
that's
some really
one.
Petty situations. Yeah, no, it's really sad. And I felt like there was an element of jealousy there, which is so sad because we've been friends for a while, so she knows me. She knows what I've been through. I know what she's been through. We, you know, no one's better than the other. We've been there for each other type thing. So it was very sad to see. But honestly, I feel like it was rooted in jealousy. And I remember asking her, like, are you genuinely happy for me? Because I'm just not feeling that from you. And, you know, she was trying to really convince me that, you know, I don't want you to think I'm not happy for you, because I am. Because, you know, when someone's really trying to convince herself, and it's just like,
yeah,
it's not me you're lying to. Like, I can see through it. Your actions are kind of, it doesn't come naturally. Yeah. And your actions are telling it all, like telling me everything I need to know. So, so yeah, it can be very difficult. You know, even if it's, let's say, buying a house, some friends that might feel like, oh, why haven't I got that yet? You know, instead of them to be happy for you, they are jealous, and that could be rooted in maybe not attending, maybe not getting you gifts, maybe not talking to you about the topic. I don't know. Because for me, if I see a friend doing well, I would want to, I'm so happy for you. You know,
so
I've had,
how do you, yeah, sorry, carry on.
No, go on.
I was going to say that, how do you combat that feeling though? So imagine you're just jealous. Maybe your life isn't going like 100% at the moment. How do you combat like those feelings of jealousy?
That's
like,
a good question. That's a good question, because I feel like being more vulnerable, I feel like all of us have had moments in our lives where we're like, oh God, I wish that was me, or I wish I had that. Like, and I think that's something that we still deal with on a daily, like not often for some people, but some people still deal with it. Some of us deal with it every now and again. So I think the humane side of us has to kind of, even though, yeah, we may look at someone sideways if they act in a certain way or act jealous, but how do we combat that? And I think for me, the way I combated it in my personal life is, I've tried to better my life. It's got nothing to do with that person. I've tried to literally get just focus, like tunnel vision on my life. Because it's a reflection of the fact that I may not be trying to get that goal, but maybe it's the fact that they've accomplished something that's making me feel a certain way, and that I haven't accomplished something in a while, and etc. So it's like, you know, yeah, like focusing on my life. And that's the way I felt. That's the way I felt a lot. Like, I've spoken to you guys about the way I felt about just my life the past decade. I felt like that a lot, because I'm like, just like, I am doing nothing and accomplishing nothing, and everything's going wrong. Deep, really bad stuff is like happening. And I've just had to kind of like have this year where I'm like, this year has started off so well from like my life coaching course that I'm taking. I just found out last week I'm getting a promotion at work. Like, so many things.
Congratulations,
girl. So well deserved. I appreciate it. So many things that are like falling to, life's not perfect, of course. Like, but I'm like, okay, I've literally been putting all of my energy at work. I've been putting my energy into the things that I want to accomplish. And that's how those things, then automatically the feelings you have for or against other people will just automatically start to unravel, and you can feel that genuine happiness for them. So I would just say that lean into making your life the life that you want. That's the only way you can not feel those feelings.
Sis, that takes maturity, and I love that, because
how
long are we going to sit and mope around and be feeling sorry for yourself? Get up and make something happen. Unfortunately, life is just not fair, and things happen that sometimes you can't control. It's not fair.
Why should I do anything? All of these things will happen to me. This will happen to, I can sit. But at the end of the day, it's only me that's in control of that. Nobody's going to come and save me. Nobody's going to come and save me. It's sad. I mean, sometimes you feel like you justified in how you feel because of what you've been through.
Of course.
But eventually you have to get up and say, okay, how can I make my life better? And because you don't want to have those feelings against different people you love, you know?
Exactly. And I think part of it as well is putting your own ego away as well. So, like, if there's something that's not going right, like, for me, what helps as well, especially if I'm supposed to have a really good friendship with them, I ask them. If it's relationships, I'm like, so what are you doing? Like, share some ideas. If it's work, share some ideas. 100%. And that makes me feel better, because I feel like I'm being supported as well.
Exactly. So support is really important. So, let's go move on to the next part. Right, guys, so the next one of the next responses, we have quite a few, so we're just going to read out a few of them and then dissect them. So one of them is learning not to take things personally. Everyone is dealing with their own stuff, and that's something that, you know, we spoke about just now. You said, Sade, about the fact that it's like it's not about me, you know.
Yeah.
I think I saw this quote one time years ago, basically saying your life will be so much easier if you actually take nothing personally. Even the things that you think are personal about you, still don't take it personal.
Just don't
personally, because that's the way we have to learn how to humans to navigate better through offense. Like, we cannot. I understand it because again, different things trigger us, and like I said,
and it's a natural thing as well.
And we're entitled people. Like we think the person should know better. Like they should know, and they won't. They don't know because we haven't said anything. So it's like okay, yeah. But I've been through that. I even take things personally. Oh my gosh.
Listen, that's something I am working through. Again, I will refer to this wedding season and vendors. And if I start to list the amount of vendors that have already disappointed me and that we've had back and forth with, people that I know as well, you will age with offense, as in it will age you because you'll just be sad all the time. Don't let offense age you. It's true. Before you know it, you're getting stress spots, you're getting wrinkles, you're getting you know, gray hair because of offense, because someone that doesn't care anymore, you're still burning against them. And my cousin that recently got married as well gave me some solid advice about that exactly, saying that do not take anything personally. Yeah, like just 100%. Don't. It's very hard to, and sometimes you want to teach people a lesson, like you want to let them know what they've done, but sometimes it's just not even worth it.
Yeah, it's like, not worth more the energy
time,
as well.
It's not. It's not. The energy that you'll use to be upset, to be angry, you could have spent in doing something else.
It's about having that balance, though, isn't it?
It's about, because you know, it's not everything that you are gonna just sweep under the carpet if there's something overlook. That you feel
because it'll just start overlook.
Because I think if you feel like if you feel like a disturbance when it comes to like your morals and your values, I think that's when you need to speak up about something. You know, if some things are not that serious, but if you think like it's coming against who you are as a person, then like say something. And but of course, one thing I always say is like when you're communicating, if someone's offended you, please take this Will Smith situation as an example. Don't react there and then. Take some time. Take some time to kind of like go back, calm down, and say, okay, cool. Let me talk to that person tomorrow. Like sometimes talking about when me and my partner, when me and Joel argue, I'm like, let's do this tomorrow because I'll be calmer. Do you know what I mean? And most times I am calmer. I'm like, because I've got sleep. You know, sleep is my favorite thing in the world. I've got to sleep, I've got to rest, and I can come back and say, okay, cool, do you know what?
You've got time to process and really think about it.
And I saw this thing today, actually, that it's to do with marriage, but there's this Christian preacher, white lady called Christine Kane, and she's Australian, and she was just saying that she's been, this to me goes for, like, any sort of relationship, not just marriage, but she's basically saying that it's her anniversary, she's been married for 26 years. She said, here are a few things that like she learned along the way. One was laugh hard, forgive quickly, listen carefully, speak wisely, love wholeheartedly, encourage often, be trustworthy, cultivate intimacy, esteem one another. And then she said, faithfulness matters. And like, to me, I was like, you could even use that in a friendship, especially the forgive quickly. Listen, forgive quickly, like
that's the key, that's
let
the
it be done.
Theme, yeah, that's the key thing that I have learned.
It's just thinking about what this person said. They said, learn not to take everything personally. Everyone is dealing with their own stuff, and that's the other side of it. It's like, sometimes you just don't, like, I shared something with you guys the other day, do you remember, about a friend?
And at first
I had no clue, and I was upset, and I was like, what's the deal, what's going on? I don't know what's going on. And when I found out, I was like, oh my gosh. So it's like, it makes sometimes sense. That's a perfect example of, like, you just never know what someone is dealing with. And of course, if they weren't dealing with anything, or they just decided to kind of take a step back, then that's a conversation that you have to have. But you know, sometimes I think the best thing is to not assume the worst at first. Always assume the best out from that person, and then go on. We'll do one more. Let's see what we have. Ooh, gosh, we've got some. Okay, So I'm just looking at what we've already spoken about. So this one here says, being the supportive friend and the friend to call on, but always left out of basically fun activities and feeling. And actually, I did do a poll on whether or not basically people deal with FOMO. So someone else said, some friends always go out to party to see without and don't invite me. And I said, you know, on the poll, I said on the story, do you ladies ever deal with FOMO, fear of missing out on your friendship? And 47% voted no, and 53% voted yes. So literally, like, almost half of people feel like they deal with, like, oh, if a friend or this person, and you spoke about that, Jen, about, like, how you may cling to one person more in the friendship, and then you guys might do things, but then other friends maybe look at that and be like, well, then,
that's really interesting.
You know?
I almost think that's
Do you take offence? Do you take offence to that? Like, the perspective that Jen gave, where it's like her and Bumi are they gel together more, so there's going to be sometimes things that they do, just the two of them, but there are other people within their friendship group, but it's just that those two are. Do you take offence sometimes if you've, you know...
I feel like that's different to constantly not being invited, though.
Definitely.
I think that's, if it's done intentionally, like... I guess I'm a prime example. There's going to be certain things that, let's say, me and Bumi do that I just might not think of inviting other people to, because we haven't had those similar conversations. And it depends on, like, again, like, what kind of relationship you have. Are you guys on the same wavelength in this aspect? Yeah. Like, are you and that particular friend, or you yourself, are you a party person where they think of you as the person to invite?
It's the environment. Are you
the type of person that likes to go to, like, networking events, and would they think of you then? So, and if that's not the case, then I think you definitely need to speak out. Like, I've done that before. I've been, like, I remember I was the one that felt like I was left out of the party stuff because people thought I was too quiet. I'm too, like... reserved, I don't really come out. I'm like, girls, I want to shake some booty as well. Like, come on. But it took until I said it for them to be like, actually, Jen, she does want to come out, sort of thing. Yeah. So you have to communicate that. And if they still still, like, isolate you, then of course there's a problem.
Actually, there's one thing that I must consider is that sometimes, like, if I'm really close to one of my friends, I've done this before, it's like, me and my close friend will say, oh, we plan something. And then I say, oh, should we invite other people? And it's like, because we're close, there's a comfortability that she has around me where it's like, I don't have the mental energy today to, like, to entertain people on the level that I would need to if other people came. Whereas if it's just you, I can just be mentally relaxed. And so sometimes that depends on the level, the dynamic of friendship that you have with that person, where they feel that comfortable with you, then maybe there's certain environments that they would want to go with you. If they don't feel a certain type of comfortability, then maybe there's some environments that they wouldn't consider you. So again, it goes back to not taking everything personally.
and that's literally what I was going to say, Bianca.
But then having the conversation, you know, talking and communicating. Yeah.
And I love the fact that, Jen, you were just able to feel comfortable enough to just tell them, like, simple. Because I've had a friend that told me, with me and how my friendships work, I don't really have a friendship circle. You know, some people have, like, a massive circle. All my friends are quite separate, so, like, there are certain things where if one friend invites me, I wouldn't necessarily invite my other friends because they're not friends, and I don't want to have to spend all my energy trying, like, to
like the barbecue. You invited one friend, right? Okay.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So I invited two friends because that's a perfect example. Yeah. So when Bianca invited us for her barbecue, guys, I invited two of my friends who already knew each other. The reason I did that, because there's so many people I could have invited, but I just thought, actually, it's easier for me to just manage these people. I know what they're like when
I don't have to stay with them. I don't have to manage that dynamic.
Truly, I didn't have to stay with them. I could do my own thing. It was fine, you know.
Yeah.
And I know what, because I go out with them quite a bit, I already know what they're like. You know, everyone has a different dynamic when they're out.
Yeah.
So it's just easier. But I've had a friend pull up me about it before and just say, you don't invite me to this. Yeah.
Wow.
That you don't invite me out, you don't invite me to parties and all. And you just have to explain that it's not even like that. It's just,
I don't go anywhere. But no, I hear that. That's interesting. I've never had a friend kind of say that. Yeah, I've never had that, which is weird. But yeah, anyways, do you have some good responses, ladies? I wish we could share them all, but we don't have time.
But because of time, we won't. So, I mean, as we... Okay, should we do the she's or that, and then we'll start to do the conclusive bits? And I know I always say this, but we'll probably need a part two.
Shall I love a part two?
I know, right?
Oh, that's too funny. That's too funny.
So do you want to do the she's or that? Yes.
Yeah, so I do the she's or that for today. She's or that is literally just shout out some people that, you know, we feel like is worthy of a shout out because of something that they are, some impacts that they are making somewhere. So I have two she's or that's actually today. But the reason why I'm shouting out two is because they're both into politics, very different, you know, parts of the world, but they're both in politics. Actually, both have dreadlocks, which is actually interesting. So you have one who is Ketanji Jackson, Brown Jackson, I believe, who is nominated for the Supreme Court, and she's the first black woman to be nominated for this.
Yeah.
She's been circulating on social media. She, I don't know if that you've seen that picture that went viral where like her daughter's sitting in the back.
And her daughter was just like smiling.
Just staring at her like, I am just such a proud daughter right now. It was just such a beautiful moment. I hope she gets it. But obviously the people that are making the decisions are very old, white, racist men. You know, that's just the reality of it. It's just the reality. They are. And just, if you watch some of the videos, sort of the stupid questions that they would ask her, was just like, this has nothing to do with her job role at all. But I want to shout her out just because, again, the first black woman to be nominated. It's crazy that this is happening. We're still hearing the first blacks in 2022.
I was just going to say that, Bianca. Why are we still hearing the first black anything in 2022, my people?
And then the second politician that I want to shout out is actually Dawn Butler. You know, Dawn Butler, who's an MP for Labour, because she actually recently announced that she was diagnosed with breast cancer. She's had the operation, so it was very early stages. So she was really lucky, she didn't have to have any chemo or anything like that. But she basically just announced it like this week or last week. And she's just, you know, Dawn Butler, I've loved, she's been around for a long time, and she's just always seemed like someone who is very integral and is really for the people. Like, you could tell that is what she is. Just like, I thought I'd shout her out because I remember we shouted her out before, but it wasn't a she's or that, it was for the, I think 1 year we did like a shout out for during Black History Month, and it was shout out
all the women. Or International Women's Day, something like that.
Yeah, something like that. But I just wanted to shout her out again, just in terms of just sending love and light to her, just grateful that it is the early stages and that she will recover, and that she can, you know, when she takes the time to rest, she can get back to doing what she loves. Like two amazing black women who are doing amazing things for people that they care about and love. I think that's just an amazing thing. So shout out to Dawn Butler and Ketanji Brown Jackson, I believe her name is.
I love that.
He's out there. Next part, let's as we wrap up slowly, let's
round up.
There's a few things.
So many questions. Maybe we do need a part two, you know?
We really do. But I think let's end on advice that we would give to ladies that are having difficulties navigating. What have you done in practice to navigate those difficult friendships?
So how have we successfully navigated friendships?
Exactly.
Don't assume. I used to assume a lot.
Yeah, assumptions.
Yeah,
I can do that to be fair.
Something
I need to work on.
I
need to work on it.
Same here. Like, a lot of the time, I used to be like, but I wouldn't do this. Or I would do this. This, like that, you know, those type of things. And it's just kind of acknowledging that we're all different people and we will all process and react to things in different ways. Sometimes one isn't better than another, but it's, again, it's just about communicating. But I think
that's my problem, because sometimes that's the way I think. I feel like the way you're thinking is actually very stupid. You should need to come into my world so that you can think logically.
But then in their world, it could make total
sense.
No, I'm like, no. Let's be real here. Let's be, come on. If we're gonna be serious, I'm making more sense than you are. But so I need to work on that. I genuinely do. Because sometimes I really feel like, no.
But you know what? Sometimes, sometimes, like, agreeing to dis... Was it agree to disagree?
Yeah,
agreeing to disagree is necessary. Like, there's been situations where I've said I cannot agree with it, but I'm happy to kind of accept and respect your opinion.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's fine.
Yeah, you say I understand it, and I said that, you know, I understand it, but I don't agree with it. You know, that's like, my opinion about the Will Smith thing. I understand it, but I don't agree with it. Do you know what I mean? Like, you understand the logic and what got to that point, but I don't agree with it. So those are the moments you have to come to sometimes with the people you love. So I'm a work in progress, because my opinion is the last one that should count. in my head, it's like, that's it.
Oh my days. Love the honesty, though. That's what we need.
I'm being honest, but I'm good. Aware. And I think one of the things I was going to say about that answering that question, how I've learned, I'm learning to navigate adult friendships, is to be self-aware. Because then if I know myself, I can articulate what I expect and what I know I can give, what my capacity is. If I don't know myself well, then my boundaries are constantly going to be pushed by people, by myself, and I'm constantly going to be butting heads because I'm not going to know until it happens. Whereas if I'm self-aware, I can then communicate to people that are around me that this is what I expect from you and this is what you can expect from me in this phase or season of our lives. That may change, and those are conversations you may have to constantly have. But I think one of the key things is knowing yourself. Like, you have to know yourself. Get to know yourself, take time so you can know what triggers you, just what your boundaries are. And you'll be surprised.
Go on, yeah. Bianca. No, sorry. Finish.
No, I was going to say, the last line is just taking the time out to also understand what the same for them. You know, get to know you first, and then once you know yourself, you can take time to understand other people. Go on, Shade.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you'll be so surprised at how many people actually don't know themselves.
100%.
Like, we think we are one way, but actually we are really not. And sometimes 100%. It's difficult to get that feedback. And for when someone is telling you something that you're very shocked at, I've had that where a friend has said, you said this, you did this that I didn't like. And I'm just like, wow, did I actually do that? I genuinely, from the bottom of my heart, did not even realise.
Yeah, exactly.
So I think that leads me on to how I've navigated friendships in adult life, is definitely speaking, putting people up on things. For example, a funny story, one of my wedding vendors, she did something. I won't say exactly who it is, like what she's doing.
I feel like we should have an episode on wedding chronicles, part one of
ours. Trust me, it's needed. Because the wedding chronicles never end. I have stories for days. But anyway, one of them, I really didn't like something she did, and I was harboring it. You know, when I see her, I would kind of just like avoid her or whatever, and then it just got awkward. And then one day I just said, let me actually just speak to her about what happened. So I sent her a really long voice note. We were going back and forth in a positive way. She was really appreciative that I brought it up. And then she said she'd offer her services for free for me. If I tell you the price of, like, so that just taught me, just communicate, like, just speak. Obviously, that might not happen all the time. But the point is that there is freedom in just speaking and being wise with it as well. Because
I have always, out of the three of us, you're the one that will speak up the most. When there's a problem,
if she don't like a food at a restaurant, like, she will talk.
Shana's like, as you know, we've had the circumstances before where we'll be talking about something in the group chat, and then when Shana sees a person, she'll be like, so what happened here? And I'm like, really?
Do you know what? It's funny because I have my moments, but when it's my own situations, like something just me and the other person, trust me, I can be quite nervous. So it's crazy when it's my own, because I'm not really confrontational when it's my own, like, thing. I just get very...
like, this girl is bold. I need that boldness.
But it's all about time and place, because if I had sent her that voice note when I was still burning, when I was still angry...
You would have said exactly.
I would have said the wrong thing, and who knows how the conversation would have gone. So there's a time and place. But yeah, so that's what has worked for me. That's the advice I would give. And if you're Christian, please pray. Because I promise you, there are certain situations I've gone through with the bridesmaids dropping out, for example, where I should be so upset, so hurt, which initially, I was, but it did not last as long as I thought it would. And trust me, it's only God. It's only God. That's the only explanation.
I think I like it because we've all said different things about, you know, how we navigate through it. Jen, did you talk about how you navigated through it? Did you say your answer?
That was the first one, mate.
Yeah. Oh gosh, my memory is bad. Lord have mercy.
Was it not good enough?
It's just like the conversation has been so long. I'm just like, wait, where are we? But no, I think this conversation is definitely something worth having, and it was nice that, you know, the ladies online shared their experiences as well. And hopefully you guys can resonate as well with some of the things that we said. And the honesty, like I said, sometimes I'm like, no, this is not the way things should go. This things should go my way, because my way is the best way. And I feel like sometimes we kind of have those moments where, you know, we have those very real moments. And then sometimes it's like just really acknowledging. I think the best way to get through life is just humility, you know?
And just knowing that you're not always going to get it right.
It's like you said it, Jen, it's ego. A lot of times it's ego, you know? And if we kind of got rid of that, then I feel like our relationships would be a lot, you know? I hear this reference a lot in terms of relationships, and sometimes I have to breathe and then remember this quote when I'm arguing with Joelle, because I really sometimes just want to but like, it's like, you are not, it's not you against them, you're a team. And sometimes, sometimes when I'm arguing, I'm like, no, okay, this is not me against him. We're in a team here. We've got to figure this out together. We're not against each other. And that comes for friendship. So when you're navigating through any sort of discourse, it's like, okay, if we're in some sort of union, a friendship or relationship, this is not me against you here. This is us together. Mm-hmm. Let's figure this out together. Like, and that's how we think a lot of times. Like, it's you against me, sis, and I'm going to win here. And it's like, and that's why we feel like we have to have the last say. We have to win because it's one against one.
Yeah, and think of it as
a team. Anywhere. Exactly. Think of it as a team. You're going to get to a resolve and you're going to be a bit more humble and let go of the ego, because, you know, it's not about winning, you know? I think that's ultimately is like, it's hard. I know friends are so hard, and they're going to change. And we're going to lose friends that we even have now. We're going to gain new amazing friends. It's sad. It's the reality of life. It's a process.
Maybe the next one should be making friends, because I feel like...
That's true.
I feel like, do you know what I mean? Because... I think a lot of people say that when you're an adult, it's harder to make friends.
Being out in Ghana is hard to, like, you know...
It's harder, but it's not impossible. Amazing thing with life. You really still can make adult friendships and, you know, make new memories and get closer to new people. I think sometimes that fear stops us from letting go to friendships we know are dead.
Yes, 100%. You know? And the confidence, the lack of confidence stops us from pursuing things, because we feel like, oh, you know, when you make new friends, you're so self-conscious about yourself. Whereas when you're with friends you're comfortable with, it's like you haven't thought about that in a long time, because you could just now you're starting from the get-go. So that's a whole other conversation.
But it's the fear of starting again as well.
It's the fear of starting over. Yeah. And I think, you know, we all have that, we will deal with it, and it's real. But I love it. I love adult friendships. I love resolve, you know, like, I love figuring things out, like having a light bulb moment of, oh my gosh, that's how I can navigate through it, or how this is, how we can do this together. Like, I love getting to those moments, because those lessons are going to take you throughout your life. The things you learn in these adult friendships, you'll hold on to them, and you'll be able to use them in friendships and relationships down the line. So, you know, don't always see this as like, oh my god, it's so hard and difficult. These are real life lessons that are going to benefit, you're going to benefit from. So yeah, ladies, we hope you've enjoyed this episode.
It was longer than usual.
It was longer than usual, but I feel like it was worth it.
But it was worth it.
It was needed.
And I feel like we've genuinely, like, dissected where we needed to. Let us know, guys, if you want us to do a part two. Let us know if there's anything in particular that we haven't touched on that you would like us to touch on. And We shall. And if we got to the end of this, you are a real one.
You're a real G.
Leave us a 5-star rating though.
Yeah, on Spotify and
Bianca
because you can on Spotify now.
I need to go. I'm in London soon. Next month. I'm back.
Yes. Ready.
Touch is. The first place I'm going is Bagel King, straight from the airport.
Oh, really? I went there the other day with Sam for the first time. I was like, Sam, you need to taste this. And he just loved the
bagel.
It.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There's something in it.
It's just perfect.
I want that. And then I was going back straight to McDonald's and get some chips. I just want McDonald's fries. That's all I want. Yeah, I'm going on like a tour as soon as I land. So yeah, I'll be back soon, and then we'll be we have to do an episode on some sort of. I don't know if you want to do it before or after the wedding, Chare, about wedding chronicles, because it might be more juicy after the wedding. To talk
exactly,
about
let's do after. So, let's do after, because then I'll have a very well-rounded view.
Sit down, cup of tea, popcorn, and spill the tea. And talk about all the people that have come against your kingdom during this time. You know, we wanna know the thesis. We wanna know all the people.
Oh, I will spill it. You guys know me already.
I love you. All right, ladies. Well, make sure you give us a 5-star rating, and we will see you next time. All right, bye.